This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I was looking at something the other day. There was a study done or survey that was done of like 2,000 parents or school-age kids. And they asked them, do you ever feel guilty about your parenting? And asked them a bunch of questions related to that. And
I'm sorry, Hal, but that's one of those research things I think, duh.
Did you have to ask? Well, okay. But, you know, in God we trust, all others bring data. And they got some numbers. And they said that 75% of parents of school-aged children said that they feel pressure to be perfect parents from their friends and from their family and from their social media. And they said that on the average, they experience 23 pangs of guilt every week.
Well, no joke.
Are your pangs per week that high? What do you think?
Of course, if not higher.
Okay.
I could barely go to sleep last night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well,
yeah,
okay.
You know, the thing is, yeah, and it says 25% frequently second guess themselves as parents.
Yeah.
Okay. No kidding.
All right. That
no
I think,
joke.
Okay. So
it's
obvious. Yeah.
You know, I think that part of this is just a normal thing.
Okay.
Love our kids so much and we want everything to be perfect for them.
Well, somebody said that grown-up life is like playing the violin in public and learning the instrument as you go along.
No kidding.
And that's, I mean, honestly, that's it. And I don't think I understood that as a child. I thought parents, you know, had everything figured out, and I didn't realize, no, they're winging it, especially with the oldest child.
You know, but I do think it's worse now, Hal. Because, you know, when our oldest children were young, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
But when our oldest children were young,
mm-hmm.
I remember my friends inviting me over to their houses, and I could see they had dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
And that I could see they had piles of laundry on the couch.
Right.
And I knew that their house was pretty much in the same shape as mine.
And so you felt like, okay, we're all in this together, and I'm not being judged because I'm not perfect.
Right. And you know, versus now, we get to see everybody's highlight reel.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I've heard people that study, you know, different generational differences, they said that the current generation, the millennial generation, you know, they're not impressed by people who are set up as experts and authorities. They really want to see crowdsourcing. They want to see everybody else's opinion and kind of form their own judgment from that. But you know, when you couple that with social media, it's kind of like the tyranny of everybody's image casting.
Well, it drives me crazy, you know, and I understand it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I look over here and I say, man, that rug needs vacuuming. I am mm-hmm. not posting a picture of one of the kids on that rug.
Well, no. who wants to post a picture of the thing that you're not just bubbling with pride over?
Well, I remember my mom saying, you don't air your dirty laundry, you wash it.
Right.
You know, and right. I understand that, but the problem is, I tell you how, I really feel sorry
mm-hmm.
for young moms today.
Yeah.
Because they're getting out less and less, and they're going to each other's houses less and less.
Mm-hmm.
They're interacting on social media, and, you know, they're looking at their friend who made 120 cupcakes for the Boy Scout troop.
Yeah.
And they took a picture of three. The three perfect ones,
because why do you want to show a picture? If you're putting a recipe on your blog, you don't want to show the picture of the misshapen one that you overcooked.
Of course not.
Of course not, because that's not a good example.
Right, and so you show the three perfect ones in the one corner of the kitchen that's not torn to pieces.
Yeah, yeah.
And yet, this poor mom is sitting there, and she's looking at her kitchen, which is a wreck, and she's looking at the cupcake she made for her kids, which looked like they were made by a third grader because her third grader helped.
Yeah.
And she feels like a failure
mm-hmm.
because she's comparing her blooper reel to someone else's highlight reel.
There's probably always been some of that because, you know, all right, yeah, we didn't have Pinterest when our parents were young parents themselves. But, you know, they had all the idea books from Better Homes and Gardens, and they had the Duncan Hines and the Betty Crocker books and everything, which had still had the glossy photos. But I think the problem with social media is it sort of says, I'm an average person and look how perfect my life is and how well put together I am. Because if you see it in glossy paper in a magazine, you say,
Well, of course not. I'm not a food stylist.
There's a professional photographer doing that. But when it's, hey, I took this with my iPhone in my kitchen in between homeschooling my children on their way to ballet lessons. And by the way, here's my perfect batch of cupcakes. And I think it's just that feeling of everybody's doing it except me. Me, poor old pitiful, failing me,
yes.
And so, all right, so have we established that it's probably pretty normal to feel some guilt and some second guessing and even maybe looking back with some regrets and wishes you could do some things over?
I don't think there's anybody that doesn't. I mean, let's face it, it's a fallen world.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, there's no way also, to be perfect.
No, you're not going to be a perfect parent. You're not going to be a perfect wife or a perfect husband. You're not going to be a perfect anything.
Well, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, right?
So pretty plain, we're not
going to
be perfect.
So we're not going to be perfect. We are going to make mistakes. Okay.
But there's got to be balance, Al. Because neither do we want to jump to the other side. Kind of, I think of it as the people who honor hot messes. You know, who say, oh, I'm a worse hot mess than anybody else. And we try to compete in how low we can go.
Yeah. Yeah, there is that, isn't there? You know, that's the thing. We see that so much in Christian life that the high road has a crown on it. You know, it's like a road with a paved road with a crown. And there's a drainage ditch on one side and a drainage ditch on the other. And as long as you're up on the paved part, you're okay. But you can go a little bit too far on either side and you end up either in the ditch of perfectionism or the ditch of I'm celebrating my awfulness.
Yeah.
That in this case.
Who cares?
Yeah. Who cares?
You don't want to fall into the ditch of trying to live up to everybody else's expectations or into who cares. You know, there's got to be some balance. And how do we do that? How do we deal with guilt as parents and not get just paralyzed with it? Hell, I struggle with this. Mm-hmm. I struggle with this now, and I'm a very experienced parent. Mm-hmm. I have four adult kids. But still, I have to be really careful not to think about what I haven't done or what I need to be doing when I'm going to bed at night or I can't sleep.
I tell you what, I have felt, of course, now, I don't think guys quite have the same feeling sometimes, but I felt sometimes having a lot of kids, by the time we get to the end, we kind of have figured some things out, maybe that we didn't know with the first one, with progeny 1.0.
Well, I would hope so. But they're all different.
Well, they are. But, okay, so we have these, feelings of inadequacy, of imperfection.
Even when things are going pretty well. You know what?
Doubts and incompetence and whatnot.
You know what? Yeah, so we have homeschooled over 2 decades. We have 4 adult kids who are doing well in life.
They all went to college on scholarship. They're doing great.
We love the Lord, but I still struggle big time with this.
Okay.
So let's talk about it. Okay. Let's just break this down and talk about the different causes of guilt and how we can deal with it. I think the first one that we really have to mention is sometimes we really are guilty.
Okay, yeah, let's deal with that one first, okay? Because you know what? Maybe you were an awful parent. Maybe you were abusive or you had a drug dependency or something.
Okay, let's not even go that far. That stuff is out there and those people, they got an issue.
They got issues. They got repentance issues that have to come
in. And rebuilding restoration. But, you know, I'm talking about the normal, ordinary, everyday kind of guilt that I really am guilty. I was cranky with my children because they were hormonal and they got on my nerves and I lost my temper and was sharp with them. Or maybe, you know, I've had a hard time getting back into the swing of things after Christmas and I'm slacking off on school and we're not getting enough done.
So sometimes we actually have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Sometimes I really am lazy
or really am irritable or whatever.
Well, okay. The Bible tells us what to do about that, right?
Repent.
You repent. And when you repent before God and you go back to you apologize to God and ask his forgiveness, you go back to the person that you have wronged. And guess what? This is a hard thing for some people. The person that you may have to apologize for may be 4 years old.
But or, you know how it's so powerful when we do that, though? Because when we go to our kids, when we've done wrong, they know we've done wrong.
When
we go to them and we confess our sin and ask for forgiveness, we're modeling for them what they're going to need to do toward us, toward their brethren, and most importantly, toward God.
Well, that's what 1 John tells us, you know, that if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. It's not just wiping the past record clean, but it's giving us the power to go forward and not to sin, not to keep doing the same thing over and over again.
And really, you know what? Let's rest on that just a minute.
Okay.
The blood of Christ covers our sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when God asks that we repent and we trust in Christ for salvation, and his blood covers our sin, washes it away so that when God looks at us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. That's the gospel. And folks, if that's a foreign language to you, look, write us. We'll talk to you about it.
Mm-hmm.
Go to your pastor. Ask a Christian friend. Because if you've got that guilt going on, if you have got the basic guilt for your sins that are unrepented and not forgiven by God, there's nothing more urgent than dealing with that.
And that step will open the door to improving so many other things that come afterwards. But yeah, I mean, take care of your soul. Make sure that your soul is good and healthy and right before God. And yeah, if your conscience is bothering you because you've really done something wrong, whether it's something awful or something that's just, that was wrong, and I need to apologize. I spoke too sharply. I didn't pay attention when they told me something. I made fun of them on social media and they were embarrassed and I didn't give them dignity or whatever. Then, okay, confess the sin. Go to the child, apologize, ask their forgiveness. You know, and don't justify yourself. That's the thing. When you ask for forgiveness, you don't say, "Will you please forgive me? You see, really, I was provoked." No, you just say, "Will you forgive me? I was wrong. I should not have done that." Don't make excuses, and then move forward from there.
But you know, what if you have a hard time moving forward? Because sometimes we feel guilty when we really aren't, when it's been forgiven. You know, sometimes we did something wrong and we asked God to forgive us. We asked anybody involved to forgive us, but we still feel guilty about it. We still feel yucky about it later.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we've asked forgiveness. Maybe we've gone to God. Maybe we've searched over our consciences and we still just feel inadequate. We do feel guilty somehow. We feel burdened when really we shouldn't at this point.
Yeah, we have regrets, you know, we struggle with it. But, you know, in 1 John, it says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things.
So sometimes we could have a false guilt that we need to give that over to God
Something
as well.
Something that's already been put under the blood of Christ, that's already been dealt with, but we're just continuing to pick at the wound, you know? We're continuing to punish ourselves over it.
Well, you know what? It reminds me a little bit of something I see sometimes with our younger children, and sometimes with older children too, sometimes with grown-ups, is person A has offended person B. Person B comes and complains to the authority, being dad or mom, and dad or mom looks at it, and it's just not as serious as person B really wants it to be. And they deal with the person, they deal with the perpetrator, there's been apologies and, you know, everything back and forth, but the person who was victimized wanted a thermonuclear kind of response. They wanted the boom lowered. They wanted this other person like put in ball and chain. And they're not willing to accept the actions of their parent and say, instead, I'm going to go stick a knife in them from behind. I'm going to do something to try to punish them a little more because I don't think they got what was coming to them.
And sometimes we do that to ourselves.
And we do that to ourselves sometimes when God says, all right, the blood of Jesus Christ has covered your sin. You are forgiven. Go forward and sin no more. And we want to say, oh, wait, God, I haven't suffered enough yet. I haven't been punished. I still have these guilt feelings. And so,
no, Jesus was punished for you.
And you know what? We have to ask ourselves, do we believe in the grace of God or not?
Yeah.
Do we believe in God's forgiveness or not? Do we believe that somehow we purify ourselves from our guilt? or do we believe that it's a matter of grace?
All right, let's put a pin in it there, because we need to talk about our sponsor this week.
Boy, do we ever, because I tell you what, our sponsor, SchoolhouseTeachers.com, wow, have they got a special running right now until the end of this month. If you're listening to this, January 2018, okay, to the end of this month, they got a special going, and it is some kind of great, okay? Their special right now, they're running for a full year. You can subscribe for a full year for
$90.
$90. That's right, and that's almost half price.
Okay, so Hal, I was looking to put one of our kids in one course.
Yep.
One course with a different company.
Yep.
It was going to be $690.
Whoa.
For one course.
For one course.
And you're saying this is $90 for a year?
For a year.
For unlimited courses?
And not only unlimited courses, unlimited students. Every student in your household
uses
the same account. Yeah, this is incredible.
But what if I can't pay for $90 now? Is there a monthly price?
There is. You know, because normally it's only $20 a month, normally.
Yeah.
But for this special, right until the end of this month, it's $9.95 per month.
That's awesome.
You
Listen,
can sign up for right now.
You
oh,
can't
my
beat
word.
That. Y'all, go sign up for schoolhouseteachers.com.
Yep. Come out, to,
you
our,
can
come out to our show page. We got a link on the show page and the code. Look, you just need to sign up there. And all the information is on the page when you follow that link.
Okay. So go to our show page, HelenMelanie.com/radio.
Yep.
All right. Hal.
Yes.
We've got to be careful with guilt that we're not judging ourselves against somebody else's standards.
Well, okay, because whose standard are we supposed to be judging ourselves by?
God's standard.
God's standards.
And you know what? Sometimes I think that God's standard for our interaction with our children is different than ours. His curriculum is different than ours. Like, you know, I've really had to understand that, and this was hard for me, baby.
Yeah.
I had to understand that maybe God cared more about me dealing with our kids' character issues that day than whether we got the school books done.
Wow. And you know what? I know we know a lot of folks who are in some really high pressure type of co-op experiences and outside classes and stuff. And sometimes they bring that in there. That, you know, they think, you know, everything else has to go on the back burner. All the character issues, all the spiritual uncertainties, all the, you know, everything else has got to take second fiddle to this great academic achievement. Because, you know, if they don't get a scholarship into college, then I failed as a parent. Or if I don't keep up in class, then other people will be judging me as a parent.
Well, that's the truth. You know, we've got to realize that every single lifestyle choice we make involves trade-offs.
And that's okay.
And that's okay.
I mean, we can't do everything.
And our trade-offs don't have to look like other people's. You know,
well,
other people may have decided to do this or to do that, and we don't have to put that guilt on us. You know, there are benefits to all those different decisions we struggle over. Natural childbirth, breastfeeding, organic gardening, homeschooling, making your own bread, living off the grid.
Well, we haven't
early
done all
language
that.
Immersion. No, we haven't.
We've done
dietary
a lot of those things.
Supplements, recycling. There's benefits to all those things. But y'all, it is impossible to do all that stuff.
Well, and,
all at once,
right.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. You know, and in seasons of your life, you may be able to do a whole bunch of things. In other seasons, you're going to be barely surviving. And you know what? It's okay.
You may do all of those things at one time or another, but not all at the same time.
Right.
And that's okay. And you just, give yourself the grace to look at your choices and say, we have the time, or we have the financial resources, or we have the opportunities to do one or two of these things, but we can't do all of them at the same time. And then just choose them.
Well, I was struggling with that last week, honestly, Hal.
Tell me.
Because I was looking at, there's a little local supplementary classes, you know, like a low stress co-op. And I thought, I wish my girls could be involved in this. Because I have happy memories of doing that with the older kids.
Yeah.
But I realized it's not possible. You know what? We will be traveling. We're going to be at all the Teach Him Diligently conferences. We're going to be at the Florida conference, at the CHEA conference in California,
right?
At NCHE North Carolina. We're going to be traveling all over the place. We're not going to be here.
Well, that's just
and I feel sad that my girls won't have that experience, but that is not the life that God has given us right now.
No, and you got to recognize that those older kids, the older kids had some experiences that the younger ones have not, but the younger ones have had experiences the older's missed out on.
That's right. The older ones didn't get to travel all over the country.
No, and the ones that gone off to college didn't get to make some of the really fantastic trips that we've gotten to make since that time. So it's just... you know, everything changes. We go through life, we grow, we change, you know, doors open and close at different times. Sometimes seasons. They close for a while and open again. It's so, don't beat yourself up over these things. Don't enslave yourself to trying to meet other people's standards and other people's, you know, expectations. And I think when we look back, we've got to recognize that what's past is past, and the knowledge we have now, we didn't have back then. You know, that was something.
Oh, that's the truth.
That was something that I learned. One of the most valuable things I took out of my time in the military was that you will never have all of the information. You will never, at the time you've got to make a decision, you will not know everything that could happen.
Because there are decisions that I've made in our parenting that I would not make that same decision now. But I didn't know all the ramifications.
No, and you know what? When you look at that situation, you've got certain pieces of information, and that's all you're going to get before you have to make a decision. Then you pray over it. You discuss it. You make the best choice out of the options that you know about. And then you move on. And then later on, you say, oh, okay, well, maybe we would have done that differently, but who could know? And don't try to punish yourself.
Okay, connected to that.
Yes.
Is don't give too much credence to people who want to load you with guilt. Because there are people who are not happy unless everyone's making the same decisions they are. It makes them feel more secure.
We have always seen people like that. And on every subject.
On every subject. Every subject. And they will make you feel horrible.
Well, they're searching for validation.
They want validation.
They feel like, okay, my decision, I'm not happy with my decision unless I can convince other people to make the same decision.
And so they will load you with emotional blackmail. Mm-hmm. And you got to be careful about that because, it's a balance, Helen, because you've got to, on the one side, iron sharpens iron. You don't want to just ignore any criticism you get. You need to examine yourself and say, is this criticism valid? Is there something I need to repent of? Is there sin in my life?
Okay. Yes.
But if you look and you say, there's no sin in my life.
Right.
This is a matter of Christian liberty.
Right.
Then we have to have the confidence to ignore or quiet down those guilt mongers. And it's hard. Some of them are really expert at it.
Some of them are your own children.
Oh, some of them. I mean, that's emotional blackmail. I mean,
there are that, and that's something, you know, that's something you really have to, you've got to teach your kids.
That it's not okay to say, if you really loved me, you would.
Well, you never do that. Well, I always expect nothing.
And that's not okay.
No, you've got something, you need to train your children not to do that. And the first step is, you don't do it either, okay?
And it's not okay for us.
It's not okay for us either. But yeah, I mean, there are people that are, they're guilt mongers, and they will drag you down if you let them.
And some of the things we feel guilty about may not have the effect that we imagine it to.
Oh, can I tell a story about that?
Yeah.
Okay. So several years ago, we made a big step. We moved out of corporate life. We were starting a business, and things were really tight for a while. I mean, you're startup mode, okay? You don't have a lot of free cash. And it was kind of hard for me because as the breadwinner, you know, I felt like if we can't afford to take the classes that we did, if we can't afford to do the little impulse buys that we used to do, then somehow I'm failing to provide for my family and I'm sort of faulty as a dad and a husband. And it's just, you know, and it was really, Christmas season that year was really tough for me because I just felt like, you know, we don't have the money to go out and splurge on Christmas. It's going to be very lean. So I was feeling pretty down. And I remember one morning I was sitting at the kitchen table. That was my office at the time. I was sitting at the kitchen table and I'm working hard trying to figure out, you know, what client am I going to try to attract next? And my oldest son at the time, he's still our oldest son, but our oldest son was like a senior in high school at that time. And he comes drifting through the kitchen and he stopped suddenly. And just out of the blue, he said, Dad, I want to tell you how much I've appreciated you being at home these past couple of years, because it's been, you know, I'm going to be going off to college soon and I won't be here, but I'm glad that you've been home where we can talk to you and you can be part of our daily lives. And this has just been the best 2 years of my whole childhood. And then he walks back out.
I still get tears in my eyes when I hear that story, and because you and I were feeling so guilty over what we could not financially provide our children.
Uh-huh.
And they were valuing what we had never been able to provide before, which was time. You know, and
you know what? And that's something we should have known that, because from the very time we had infants, how often we heard people saying, you know what? What that baby wants is your arms. That baby wants your comfort. They want mama. That baby doesn't want a lot of toys. That baby doesn't want a lot of experiences. That baby just wants you. And that's, you know what? We lost track of that.
Well, there's some principles here.
Yeah.
Okay, when you feel guilt, the first thing you need to do is check to see if this is the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. You need to check and say, am I in sin?
Yeah.
You know, check your heart against the Word of God. Examine yourself. If you're in sin, there's an easy answer. Repent and believe.
You repent. You ask forgiveness. And you go forward.
Trust Jesus to save you.
Okay.
Yeah, you repent of your sin. But then the next part is a little harder. Look at that and say, is there something I ought to be doing differently?
Or is there a better thing to do than we're doing?
Yes, some principles you need to keep in mind as you're deciding what's a better thing to do.
Right.
Is people are more important than things.
That's a very good principle.
And, you know, it's better to spend time reading aloud to your children than it is making sure they eat a perfect, wonderful, organic, balanced diet. It's more important to have time with your family than to be super successful in your business.
Mm-hmm.
It's more important to deal with character than it is to finish the workbook that day. You know, to always look at things in the proper valuation. You know, look at eternal things.
Yeah.
Look at people.
Look at people.
You know, put things in the proper valuation, because so often we feel guilt over things that don't matter at all.
What's that? One of the other things I think my mother used to say sometimes, she says that you love people, you use things.
Yes.
You know, and you enjoy the things, but you love the people. And that's important, some important things to bring in there. You know, something like that, one of the things that people feel the most guilty about, and I hear this and I read it, and it was in this study too. They said people feel guilty that they don't spend enough time with their children, that they're not there with their kids. And you know what? We found something that really helped with that. Bring the kids into your life.
Yes.
You know what? You say, I want to go to all my son's ball games. Well, you know what? What if you bring your son in to work with you in your business? What if you choose to homeschool your child so that you're spending, you know, every day with them?
What if you take out the earbuds and talk to your kids?
Wow. Or make eye contact with them.
Put down your phone and ask them a question.
Yeah.
You know, choose the eternal.
Choose the eternal.
Mm-hmm. Prioritize people.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's going to really lessen the number of regrets you have when those kids get grown up.
Yeah.
One of our adult kids told me on my birthday just recently, he said, Mama, I'm just so thankful for all those days you spent disciplining me. And I'm like, what?
What? Yeah.
But he told me that the time that I had spent with him, those days I thought were wasted, that we didn't get enough schoolwork done, enough housework done, but I spent counseling him and trying to get him out of a meltdown and trying to deal with whatever was happening.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, those days are the days that made me the man that I am now.
Wow. Okay. And you know what? Your 8-year-old is not going to say, Dad, thank you so much for holding me to a higher standard and disciplining me against my wishes. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
they're not,
no.
but you know what? It's what does that say about there's no discipline seems joyful at the time, but it bears the peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, eventually the fruit comes, and it may be a few years in the future, and we just need to, as it says in one of the letters, let us not grow weary in well doing.
And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Let go of the guilt, because Christ has borne our guilt. He has taken it. Mm-hmm. Let go of it. Lay it at the foot of the cross and walk in delight, recognizing that God has said the steps of a man are established by the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And he delights in his way. God delights in his people. Mm-hmm. He rejoices in them. He looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Christ. So why should you condemn yourself?
Indeed. Don't we have better things to do?
Amen.
Yeah, absolutely.
So be encouraged, folks.
Okay.
We got to go. Be sure to visit our sponsor, schoolhouseteachers.com.
That's right. Come out to our show page, HelenMelanie.com/radio, and you can click on that link. And not only will you go out and find out how you can save a lot of money on that sponsor services, but also you'll be helping out our ministry a little bit too. And speaking of that, we would love to have your support on Patreon as just a regular supporter, whether it's $1 a month, $100 one-time gift, something, whatever you feel led to do, because sponsors and donors and friends like you are what keep this ministry going.
Absolutely.
So go out to patreon.com/Hal and Melanie.
If you want to make a one-time gift or look for any of our resources, you can come out to our website at raisingrealmen.com. Click on shop at the top.
Yep.
You can scroll down there to support Raising Real Men, or you can look at all of our many resources we have for making biblical family life practical.
That's right. Sign up for our free newsletter. Come out to iTunes and tell iTunes how much you love this podcast.
And listen, if you see us at a conference this year, come up and introduce yourself. We love to meet our podcast listeners.
That's right.
And if you want us to stop and speak at your church or event along the way, get in contact because we're booking right now.
That's right. We're not going to make you feel guilty. Okay. We're not going to make you feel guilty about this because we want you to find ways to make biblical family life a practical thing in your home. And we want to encourage you and give you tools to make that a reality. Okay. So we want to thank you for being with us again. Until next week, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
God bless you for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HalandMelanie.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.